Please remain standing and turn your attention now to the Word of God. Luke chapter 11 and the first four verses record for us the Lord's Prayer. I have been preaching this a series on this in the evenings, but this morning I'm going to do one of the petitions here among us. And the petition is the one that deals with forgiveness. Hear now the word of God. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught also his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Thus far ends the reading of God's Word. Please now be seated. In this petition of the Lord's Prayer, you and I, as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, are commanded to practice an aspect of our Christian faith that is really at the very heart of what the gospel is all about, namely forgiveness. Jesus commands us to engage in forgiving others, and he gives us very profound reasons why we must forgive others. Today we will explore those reasons in greater detail. I just want to make one comment as I start. This sermon does not come about because I'm aware of untold examples of unforgiveness running rampant through our church. Quite on the contrary, I'm not aware of anything like that going on. But it is an area where we all need to give some careful thought to. And we all need to practice what our Lord is placing before us in this passage. If you were to actually literally translate this petition, Luke chapter 4, it would go something like this. Forgive us our sins as we also forgive all who are owing debt to us. And of course you know that there's problems with trespasses and those who trespass against us. There is a little bit of difference in the usage of the words here. But I think whatever words you want to use, whether it's trespasses or debts, let's not get hung up on that and blur the importance of forgiveness that Christ is talking about. When Christ tells us we are to forgive us our sins, or when the petition is we're asking God to forgive us our sins, it's very important that you note that in Greek there is a difference of tense between the two forgivings that are used in this word. On the first part of the petition, we're asking God to forgive us our debts, our sins. Right? That particular tense that's used expresses the idea of something that it has factually occurred. In other words, it's as if they're the petition is saying, God has already forgiven us our sins, and we connect that with how through the ministry of Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, we're still encouraged to ask for it. God has already forgiven us in Christ. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 2, is just one of many verses that speak of how God forgives us in Jesus. My little children, these things I write to you that you sin not, but if any man does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the propitiation for our sins, the one who turns away God's wrath, that's what propitiation means. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Christ has forgiven us all our sins against the eternal God. Let's not forget who we've sinned against. All of our rebellion, all of our hatred, all of our wicked attempts to deny God, to deny Him worship, honor, and praise, and take the glory for ourselves. Christ has forgiven us of all those things. All our sins in thought, word, and deed against God and His commandments. All our cursing of the name of Jesus Christ. God has forgiven us in Christ. The petition, however, by encouraging us to ask, not to forget to ask for forgiveness, reminds us that we should never take God's forgiveness lightly. It is always part of the Lord's Prayer to remind us what Jesus has done. Do you see that? By putting this in the Lord's Prayer, which is, you know, the most well-known of all the Christian prayers, God is always reminding us, every time we say this, do not forget what Jesus did in forgiving you your sins and the offense of those sins against God. Our sin against God is a sin against the ultimate being. The ultimate being. That is forgiven by the righteous, holy, all-powerful. That is, our sin through Christ's work is forgiven by the righteous, holy, all-powerful, and wrathful God. We have His example of forgiveness before us in Christ. Who are we commanded? Are we commanded to forgive anyone? And if so, who? Well, the latter part of this verse reminds us that we are to forgive those who are indebted to us, who sin against us, who trespass against us. I said that there were two different tenses for the word forgive. The first one, asking God to forgive us, is one tense, and it signifies a fact, pointing to what Christ has done. This second tense, we are to forgive others, guess what? It's a present tense, which means we're always going to be in having to have to forgive others. There's always going to be this need to forgive others of their debts against us. There will always be, you see, those who sin against us and trespass against us, because this world is full of sinners. And everywhere you go, they are there. If you go into your school, they're there. If you go to your job, they're there. If you go to the supermarket, they're there. If you go to your home, they're there. You go to your church, they're there. The command that we have here in verse 4 to forgive others assumes another important fact about Christians, namely that they are not called to live in isolation from people simply because you fear somebody's going to hurt you. Or you fear that those sinners are going to say something that's going to hurt your feelings, and you'll have to forgive them. We are not called to live separated lives from the world. We're not called to be Christian hermits. We are called to be part of the body of Christ and to forgive those who sin against us. And at times, forgiving those who sin against us can be the hardest, most distasteful thing we would ever have to do in our life. Why is that so? It's hard and it's distasteful because those who sin against us are often those who are very close to us. And we are actually stunned, angry, hurt, disappointed, grieved, betrayed, and actually suffering in ways unimaginable by their activity and actions. We just cannot believe that someone in whom we're so close to could do such awful things. The reality is, they can, and they will, because they are sinners. And they are sinners. If they're unbelievers, they're sinners who frequently have no concerns about loving God. And because they have no concerns about loving God, they certainly have no concerns about sinning against mere mortals. You and I cannot ignore this text's teaching. God calls us to be people known by our ability and our willingness to forgive others. Others who do us wrong. Is there another reason, though? Are there other reasons why we find forgiving others so distasteful? Sure, we may be angry, we may be hurt, we may be disappointed, we may be grieved, we may be betrayed, we may suffer in ways unimaginable. A heart that's wounded by a friend can be the most painful thing we'll ever experience in life. But I want you to think about something else in addition to those things, about why it is so hard. I want you to think about this and let me know what you conclude. It has something to do with how we live, as to why it can be so hard to forgive. We start off by saying By nature, we don't want to admit that we are sinners. And because of that, we gladly embrace the view of the world regarding God. And the view of the world is primarily this, that we are victims. That we are victims of God's too stringent law or his arbitrariness. We take this to the next step and say, it's everybody else's fault that things happen to me, bad things. And our pride becomes so wounded that we will even blame God for our sin. The woman you gave me, she made me do it. Remember that? And we're good at blaming others. And we're even good about blaming God. We're victims, you see. Our inability to admit that we sin against God leads us to believe our feelings are too hurt, our pride is too impacted, and we can't see ourselves ever reconciling with that sinner. And in order to forgive, you have to reconcile. And in order to reconcile, you have to love your brother as Christ loved you. But if we're not careful, denial of our sin and our pride combine and leads us to believe not only are we victims, but we're somehow special. And we deserve preferential treatment from God and from others. We are entitled, you see, to live happy lives and never have a sad moment or a bad day. We are entitled never to experience grief and mystery and misery from others. We as sinners have the wrong view of what it is we are entitled to in life. And that in turn impacts our relationships with God and with others and the whole question of forgiveness. We won't forgive if we get to that point. We are expressing our wrong view of God and of ourselves. We believe we're entitled to have everything we want because we think we are so great. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the only thing you and I are entitled to in our natural state is not hero worship. It is not life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is not dreams and visions of worldly success. It's not the world's view of peace and joy. What you and I are entitled to is nothing more and nothing less than the wrath and curse of God. The wrath and curse of God upon us for our sins. You and I are entitled to death.
I put it that strongly because unless you see that, you will never forgive. All that God owes us is death, the wages of sin. Until we understand that instead of death, what we were entitled to, Christ gave us life, what we were not entitled to, we can't possibly forgive others because they ruin our goals, our purposes, our hopes, and our dreams by their sinning against us. Forgiving others, you see, demands that we look to God's example of forgiveness as our model. As we petition God to forgive us of our sin, which He in Christ has done, we are to be forgiving of our debtors, those who sin against us. The model is clearly before us. The model is Christ. God forgave you in Christ. And the reason, you see, that we are to forgive is that God forgave us sinners who sinned against Him and who sinned against His Son, the Lord Jesus. God, according to Psalm 103, verse 12, has removed your transgressions from you as far as east is from west. Always like that. Implies He's forgiven them. In our text, in our verse that we read earlier from Luke, which I'll refer to in just a moment. There's a number of verses in Luke that speak to this question of forgiveness. In Luke chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, the Lord is about to heal some individual, and the scribes and the Pharisees begin to say, "Who is this man who speaks such blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" They certainly had that part of it right. Who can forgive sins but God alone? They had that right. But Jesus looked at them and said, which is it easier to say, your sins be forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, I say to you, and it's to that man, that crippled man, He says, arise, take up your couch, and go to your house. In the passage I read previously about the woman and Simon, Jesus speaks also about forgiveness. Wherefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. How do you think Simon felt right about then? Being compared to this woman whom he thought was of bad reputation and being found lacking. Because he loved God little. Because he hadn't understood how much he was forgiven in Christ. We're forgiven much. Infinite. I mean, how do you, what's the word to use talking about how much we're forgiven? How do you put that into perspective? In Acts chapter 13, verse 38, speaking of Jesus, it says, "Be it known to you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And then in Ephesians 1, verse 7, where Jesus is also the focus of Paul's argument, he says, in Him, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of God's grace. God forgives us in Christ because He is gracious and merciful, and never because we were entitled to it. Think about this. God forgives us. God forgives you. In order to do that, He must sacrifice His Son, Jesus, for those whose sins are many. The same people who in their pride and arrogance assume that they deserve blessing and happiness in life, that they are entitled to honor and praise, even if they have to steal them from God. In order to forgive us in Christ, God, who truly is entitled to worship and praise from every human being, and who instead received hate and scorn from the hearts and lips of men, God, who is entitled, doesn't demand our praise and obedience and worship from us before He will forgive us. In truth, He defers all our praise that He deserves for His creative and redemptive work. He defers that until another day. He defers that to the end, ultimately to the end, when in Christ Jesus He gets all the praise. And don't forget Jesus. Jesus, who cast aside the entitlement of heavenly glory to be humbled in a rude manger, to be hated, spit upon, and crucified. Don't forget that. Our model for forgiveness, you see, is God Himself, revealed to us in Jesus. We must not lose sight of the sacrifice of the cross as we interact with others. The sacrifice of Jesus upon the cross must govern your mind and your heart. It must lead you to forgive those who sin against you and lead you to abandon your false fixations with your own entitlement and your own elevated opinion of your self-worth. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. God help you to hear this word. God help you to do it as it becomes necessary to do. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful, Lord, for Your demonstration to us of the power of Your forgiveness of our sins. Teach us, O Lord, to rest in that power and to live our lives as we interface with others in such ways that honor the work of our Savior and advance the teachings of His kingdom. Even though, Lord, to us these things seem so awfully hard,
Tear down our pride. Give us the grace of humility. Help our examples to be more and more Christ-like in how we show Christ to the world. We pray it in His name. Amen.